To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Hi, welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, episode 62. Mark DeLuzio. This episode's titled, A Republic, If You Can Keep It, The Case for Constitutional Literacy. I've been hitting on this subject quite often of late in various number of episodes, but I wanted to kind of bring a different perspective and a different maybe thought about how to think about the Constitution and how to think about the things that happen in our country where we are free to opine and give our opinions. So many opinions that are given on what goes on in this country are just absolutely ill-founded when you really do understand the Constitution, and it's frustrating. So I want to talk about this now. Now, before we get into this, I want to kind of back up a little bit. The person who said a republic, if you can keep it, is none other than Ben Franklin. Okay, the circumstances were that in September of 1787, when the Constitution was signed and the Constitutional Convention was closed. And remember, our website is 1787solution.com. And we picked that year in particular because of the agreement and the closing after all the debate of the Constitution. And after all these months of debate, because remember, the founders all didn't agree. Even after it was signed, they still had different views. Adams had a, and Hamilton had a big government view. And you look at Madison and Jefferson had more of a limited government view. And so a lady named Elizabeth Willing Powell asked Ben Franklin as he was leaving state house, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or monarchy?" And he replied to her famously, "A republic if you can keep it." What did he mean by that? First of all, the framers did reject a monarchy. Thank God for that. They just got off of one with King George after the Revolutionary War. That's the whole reason why we went to war, because of the 27 grievances that you can find in the Declaration. I have an episode on that if you want to go look at it. Okay. And listen to the grievances, or some of them anyway, that I talk about. But he knew the Constitution was not enough. The system depended on virtuous leadership, which we really have a big problem with that today. Okay, I think you probably know that. Respect for constitutional limits, civic responsibility, and informed citizenry. Okay, we're not informed today. From what I've heard in talking to people, looking at comments on social media, we are ill-informed. And this is the whole reason why I'm doing this podcast, is to get people informed, okay? And explain the Constitution in perhaps simple terms so that, you know, we know what our rights are. How can we defend our rights if we don't know our rights? Franklin knew self-government was fragile. And they looked at history and they knew that republics failed when citizens become disengaged or misinformed or ignorant of governing principles. And we really are ignorant. I would challenge any high school graduate today who made the honor roll to name the three branches of government and name a couple examples of checks and balances. And explain the difference between a republic and a democracy. Can you do that? So we need to get informed and understand these fundamental principles. I'm going to go through some of them today. Okay. It's our government, and we have to defend it. We can't rely on politicians to defend our government. I mean, we have to hold them accountable. Okay. Hold leaders accountable. But we can't hold them accountable if we don't understand our rights, if we don't understand the Constitution. When I ran for Congress, I was asked one time, how do we know we can trust you? And my response to this one individual was, why the heck would you trust a politician? The founders knew that all of us are corrupt, you and me. Why would you trust me? Look, I'm going to do what I can to earn your trust, but I want you to hold me accountable. That's the problem today. We have sometimes wide open trust with anything a politician does. And by the way, I'm a big President Trump fan, but I am not in concert with some of the things he's doing only because I understand the Constitution. So does Rand Paul. So does Thomas Massie. So did MTG. And all these people got ostracized as rhinos when they have the highest freedom index score in Congress. And then Rand Paul's 96, Massey's 99. You know, you look at these people who are true to their oath of office, and you have Republicans calling them rhinos. Now, we all know this Trump derangement syndrome. No matter what Trump does, President Trump does, people are going to be against it, right? I also coined another term, Trump agreement syndrome, where we just agree with everything the administration does. Okay. And that means you're not thinking. That means you're not defending your constitutional rights. Okay. And I'll talk about some of these things, you know, in a bit. And I have talked about them in the past. Okay. I got criticized by podcasters who, you know, said, I'm a rhino. And I'm a liberal. If you knew me, I'm anything but that. But I could disagree with somebody popular like President Trump. Congress is not an extension of the executive branch, okay? And we all have our checks and balances, what I'll get into, okay? So Franklin knew when he said, a republic if you can keep it, all right? And that's what we need to think about. And getting into some of the quotes that the founding fathers made, Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. George Washington, ignorance is a fit soil for bad things to grow. Abigail Adams, learning is not attained by chance. It must be sought for with ardor and attended to with diligence. And Ben Franklin, of course, being ignorant is not so much a shame as being unwilling to learn. Okay. So what I'm asking is to learn some of the basics. Okay. And you can learn them by listening to I'm on episode 62 already, but you can learn them by listening to some of the episodes in my podcast, okay? Because we explain them. The way the founders meant to explain these principles, not the way Mark Levin or Sean Hannity or any other politician out there interprets them, because many of these people are interpreting these things wrong. Okay, but I go right back to the founding fathers. So here's what you must ask. Okay, so whenever you see a bill come through or a debate on a particular issue, you can't decide your position on it based on your emotion. You have to decide it based on the rule of law. A very good case in point. Judge Scalia, who to me perhaps was the greatest Supreme Court judge, okay, God rest his soul, he voted to uphold the right to burn the U.S. flag. And he got criticized for it. Okay. That was founded based on the First Amendment. And by the way, the Supreme Court upheld the right of citizens to burn the American flag. Now, how distasteful is that, right? And I even heard President Trump and other people say we should put a law in that says you can't burn the American flag. Well, that would be unconstitutional because the Supreme Court just ruled that burning the American flag is a First Amendment right. Okay. However, Scalia went on to say, if I was king, I would take, and I'm going to paraphrase, I would take every long-haired hippie freak and throw his ass in jail who would burn the flag. But I'm not king. We have a constitution to uphold. So as distasteful as burning the flag is, he ruled to uphold the right to do it. Let me give you another example. Smoking in restaurants and bars. You have a private institution. Somebody owns that bar, private property. Smoking is legal, but the government says you can't smoke in a restaurant. Okay. Different, though, from an airline saying, we're not going to allow you to smoke on an airplane. Although I think the FAA made that rule. So it's the government, again, coming in and saying, you can't smoke. Now, look, I hate smoking. I never even tried it. My parents smoked. It drove me nuts. I, as a kid, you know, most teenagers try to smoke and try it. Well, I never even tried it. I hated it so much. Never even put a cigarette in my mouth. And as much as I disdain cigarette smoking, I look at this and say, wait a minute. It's a legal substance. Just by the way, the government makes more money on it than tobacco companies, but that's aside. I digress. Okay. And it's private property, but an owner of a bar or restaurant cannot decide whether or not he or she will allow smoking in their establishment. And I said, let the market decide. Hey, if a restaurant allows smoking, I'm not going to go there because I hate it. Okay. But the point I'm trying to make here is most people, and I've heard people say this, thank God we have that law because I hate smoking. Well, somewhere along the line, the government's going to come along and further infringe on your rights on something you do like. Okay? It's a double-edged sword. It's a slippery slope. What other, you know, adjective can I use to describe it? You will rue the day when you allow the government to infringe on your constitutional rights because you're in favor of the measure. So we got to be smart about this, okay? So when you look at a law, a position on a particular subject or whatever, here's what you got to think about. First of all, authority. Does the Constitution grant power for this action? Remember, the Constitution is a limit on the government to protect our rights. It limits the government to infringe on our rights, okay? Rights do not come from the government. Are our rights and liberties protected? Okay? Now, in this case with the smoking and the restaurants, I say no. We allowed a motion to write that law. We allowed a motion and the time of the day to put the Patriot Act in, which infringed on all kinds of rights. Maybe I'll do a separate episode on that someday. Okay. Does it respect the separation of powers between the three branches of government? And what about federalism? That clear division between state rights and federal government. I say clear. A lot of these sometimes are not clear. And there's a lot of gray area sometimes when you start looking at this. What about checks and balances? Are we maintaining the checks and balances? And does it really reflect the will of the people? Okay. I think some 85 or some odd percent, somewhere in the 80s, people support voter ID. But we have politicians that are going to fight that, and people will re-vote them into office in 2026. It's like they don't deserve to be voted into office. They're not reflecting the will of people. Okay? So let's talk about some of these. Let's talk about limited government first, okay? The government only has powers granted to it by the Constitution. At least that's the theory. But does the law fall within enumerated powers, let's say, of Congress? Congress writes the laws. So Article 1, Section 8 has the 18 different areas where Congress can write law. So when you see them write a law, you go back to those 18 enumerated powers in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and you ask yourself, where does that fit? Okay. Where does it say that the government can write law to allow transfer payments? And what I mean by that is taking money from you and giving it to somebody else. That's welfare. That's, you know, I had a whole podcast on this. The federal government was not supposed to be meant for charity. All the founders said that, okay? They supported charity, but privately, not based on the federal government. What about the fourth branch of government? What about, you know, the regulations that get written through these agencies, like the EPA, like Department of Ed, like CDC, FDA, FAA, I mean, go on, okay? It's an alphabet soup. And those regulations have the power of law. And so those regulations and those agencies, I should say, fall under the executive branch. That's the president, for those of you in Rio Linda, okay? So now you got the president influencing and writing law, okay? What about the Federal Reserve Act? Power of the purse belongs with Congress. The Federal Reserve is setting all the monetary policy in our country, okay? Where the fiscal policy is being reserved for the Congress. No, that's wrong. What about the departments themselves, like the Department of Education? Okay, that gets into the 10th Amendment to say, hey, look, what's not delegated by the Constitution to the federal government, by the people, okay, is left to the states or the people, okay? Does the candidate support limits on executive authority? And if you look at, again, Article 1, Section 8, the War Powers Act that was written, I believe, in 1972, gives the president the authority to go to war. Where the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8 is clearly states that it's Congress that declares war, not the president. The founders were adamant that no one man should be able to take our country to war. And remember, these representatives represent you. Okay, and that's how your rights are being infringed, because one man is making the choice. Now, we get into arguments that, oh, well, okay, that wasn't really a war. Yeah, it was a war, okay, when you attack a country. Attack in Venezuela, in all due respect, and I'm not saying I disagree with the attack. I disagree with the fact that the president didn't go to Congress to get a declaration. So I have a whole episode on that, okay? I mean, if you're going to say that attacking with our military was not an act of war on Venezuela, then you got to say that the Japanese attacking Pearl Harbor was not an act of war, okay? Tariffs. It's clear in the Constitution that Congress sets tariffs, not the president. But we passed a law that said the president can set tariffs. So now you got to think, well, wait a minute now. How can Congress write a law that is counter to their constitutional powers as enumerated in the Constitution? How can that be? Emergency spending. I had Paul Gosar from Arizona, Congressman Paul Gosar, on my show talking about this. The president can declare an emergency and spend money. And it's like 42 emergency spending powers that I know of that are out there. Some go back to Gaddafi. COVID is still active. So you can declare an emergency. There's been very loose rules about what's an emergency. So now the power of the purse is with the president, where he can spend money through this Emergency Spending Act, okay? Emergency powers. all unconstitutional. How many people really know that? All right. What about overreach? How about the First Amendment? When Biden colluded with the social media, you know, with Facebook and with Twitter and everything else, to silence conservative viewpoints. I got kicked off of LinkedIn, which at the time was, I believe, owned by Bill Gates. I got kicked off for 2 years when I ran for Congress. It went back 9 months to look for something I said about COVID. I said, COVID, the COVID vaccine is not a vaccine. I got kicked off for a month. Then I finally went back, and when I got back on, I said, the president offered Nancy Pelosi 10,000 troops for the January 6th riots, and she refused. That kicked me off for good. 2 years, I was off. They finally had to let me on because all the things I said came out to be true. So now I'm back on LinkedIn. I got a worldwide following in my business, okay? That's a First Amendment violation. If LinkedIn, for example, decided to kick me off because they didn't like what I said, they have a perfect right to do that. Not when the government is in collusion with these social media companies. And it wasn't until Elon Musk bought Twitter that all this came to fruition, okay? So that is the First Amendment. The First Amendment only applies to the government limiting your speech. It's not the New York Times. They can choose not to publish what you write. Facebook could say, no, we're not going to let you opine on anything. It's their right to do that, okay? Second Amendment. Every state has different laws concerning firearms. I thought there was only one law called the Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed, okay? And we, as a people, allow our state representatives who take the same oath of office to uphold our constitutional rights, we allow them to write all these crazy laws around firearms. I mean, one of the reasons when we moved from Arizona to here to North Carolina is because going back to Connecticut, I would be a felon based on the guns that I own. In Connecticut, you cannot have a loaded gun in your house. You have to have your gun locked up separately from your ammo. And if your gun has an empty magazine in it, it is considered armed. And it's breaking the state law. This is what these people do, okay? And we keep electing these state representatives that just chip away at our rights. A lot of our rights are taken away at the state level, okay? And state representatives have an obligation to nullify unconstitutional federal mandates. They don't even know what their job is, most of these people, okay? And quite frankly, many of them are not the smartest people in the world to get elected. So, Second Amendment. Fourth Amendment, search and seizures. Is it legal for you to be stopped for a DUI inspection? Checking whether or not you've been drinking. Remember, the Fourth Amendment says reasonable suspicion, right, for search and seizures. What about random IRS audits? And forget about proving, you know, guilty until proven innocent. You have to prove yourself innocent to them, okay? They don't have to prove you guilty. The data collection, digital data collection, all these things, okay? Do we even know that our rights are being infringed? We should know this, okay? Now let's talk about the separation of powers. Remember, we have three branches of government. The legislative, which is the House of Representatives and the Senate. The executive, which is the president, and judicial, which is the Supreme Court, okay? The question asks, does one branch exercise powers assigned to another? Do you even know? Have that even crossed your mind? Does the candidate respect institutional boundaries that you're going to be voting for? So there's a plenty of violations there. I mentioned the War Powers Act, okay? The decision to go to war now rests with the executive branch, not with the legislative branch. emergency spending, tariffs. How can Congress write a law that basically says, you know, our constitutional authority under Article 1, we're going to give that to the president. If we want to amend the Constitution, there's something called Article 5, which I hope we never get into because I'm afraid what would happen. I don't think we'd recognize the Constitution when it gets done. But Congress can't write a law. All this argument about tariffs with the Supreme Court, nobody's asking the question, how can Congress write a law that transfers their constitutional authority to another branch of government? To me, it's simple. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, okay? And maybe I'm missing something, but I don't think so. I don't understand how that could be. These are the kind of questions that you have to ask. I don't care. Your favorite politician, it doesn't matter. I've challenged personally Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, in person, Tom Cotton, Elise Stefanik, Steve Scalise, all four of these, I've challenged personally in front of a lot of people on these questions. And for the most part, I got a word salad, okay? A word salad. And when these represent these high-powered people, and these are very powerful people, by the way, when they come out and say, well, no, the president's within his right, what book are you reading? I've only got one book, okay? Matter of fact, I have it right here. I'm going to hold it up. It's called the U.S. Constitution, okay? That's my book, okay? I'm not sure what hymn they're singing and what book it's coming from, but when they just blatantly say, yeah, he has a right to do that, please tell me in the Constitution where it says that. That's the next question that you got to be asking your representatives, okay? Show me in the Constitution where that right exists, okay? Well, we have a law over here that we're... No. You can't write a law that changes the Constitution. Show me in the Constitution. The original Constitution is only 4,500 and some odd words. It's not that long, okay? And then, of course, there's the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments. It's not that big of a book. It's a little booklet. You could read it in probably an hour, if that. Show me in the book. This is the book right here. Don't take me to some law that you wrote that takes your powers and gives them to somebody else, okay? It's frustrating for me. It really is frustrating for me. We're just oblivious to all of this, okay? Now, this delicate balance between what we call federalism, power divided between the state government and the federal government, okay? That's another thing to be thinking about as you ponder all of the, you know, laws and positions and topics and debates that are out there. Is it truly a federal responsibility? Okay. Does your candidate favor federalism? Or is he wishy-washy on it? I just talked to you about the Second Amendment. Okay. To me, the state shouldn't have any say in that. The Constitution is pretty clear. You have a right. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay. Why do we have a Department of Education at the federal level? 10th Amendment says it's not enumerated anywhere in the Constitution. Show me in this Constitution where we can write law about education or about the EPA, about the environment, or about the CDC and our health and the FDA, what Robert Kennedy's doing. The last thing I want is the federal government telling me what's good for me. And everybody favors this. Everybody favors what Robert Kennedy's doing. And I'm not saying the man's not doing good things in terms of what's right for nutrition and all that. But once you allow the federal government to step outside the bounds of their authority, you just created a slippery slope where you are going to end up, ruin the day that you gave the federal government that right to do that. Okay. Now here's the thing: well, everybody's in favor of better foods, but what about personal responsibility? Okay, we have a victim type mentality here, where we're blaming food companies and pharmaceuticals and McDonald's and all that. And nowhere does anybody say, hey, wait a minute. You're the one that put the food in your mouth. You're the one that drank yourself to death. Okay? Most heart attacks and heart cardiac problems are self-inflicted. Right? But we're going to look and blame everybody else. Okay? So be careful what you ask for. Okay? By the way, immigration. The Constitution says that Congress can write laws about naturalization. Naturalization is the requirements in the laws surrounding becoming a citizen. It says nothing about immigration. That, to me, is a state rights issue, okay? But the Supreme Court ruled that the naturalization clause in the Constitution does include immigration. I totally disagree. So these are the kind of things we have to think about. Now, last I want to talk about is the rule of law. The rule of law. If we don't have a rule of law, we don't have a country. Okay? And you've heard the saying, nobody's above the law, including elected officials. Well, that sounds really good in theory, but it's not what's happening. Okay? There are people being prosecuted that shouldn't be. There are people who are not being prosecuted that should have been. And there is a double standard. When Jim Comey stood up and said, Hillary broke the law and did all these things, but we're not going to press charges because she didn't really intend to do it. I don't know. If I hit a kid on a bicycle because I'm speeding, can I get away with it by saying, you know, I didn't intend to kill the kid. It wasn't my intent. I was late for a doctor's appointment. I just wanted to hurry up and get there. And I won't fly, will it? But we allowed that to happen. Okay? As a matter of fact, it's the judicial department that presses charges, not the FBI. Okay? But he made that call. You see what I'm saying? And that just got by a lot of people. All right? There's a lot of examples like that. So, laws are not applied equally. Are you looking at candidates who want to really demonstrate that? Okay. Because without the rule of law, we cannot conduct business. I mean, look what's happening in California with all the companies moving out of California, especially San Francisco, Nordstrom, all these big companies. They're leaving. They can't do business there. Okay. Okay, so all I want you to do is get familiar with some basic fundamental concepts, okay, of the Constitution, and have that as your litmus test. Remember the saying way back when they said, what would Jesus do? You're faced with a moral dilemma, and you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Well, you have a framework of morality, Ten Commandments, whatever, to compare your decision against to make sure it's sound. The Constitution is that when it comes to politics in our republic, okay? If you understand some of the basic tenets of the Constitution and then use that to decide, how does that influence your position on these certain things? There are some things that I like the way President Trump is handling terrorists. I don't like the fact that we're breaking the Constitution to do it. Okay? I think strategically going after Venezuela was the right thing to do. Simply because it's going to, the real reason, I think, was to cut oil off from China. And I think Iran's in the same boat. Okay? But I don't like the fact that one man decided to take us to war. make your case to Congress, and all the excuses about, oh, it's going to take too long, Congress won't agree, you know, we'll let out all our secrets, right? And we'll let they'll know we're going to be attacking them, and they'll come on, guys, come on, guys. Those are BS excuses, absolutely BS excuses. When you fabricate reasons why we're going to abridge the Constitution, again, you will rue the day down the line when something occurs that you that is unconstitutional, but you laid the groundwork and you agreed to it and you can't complain. Okay. Okay. Get educated, please, if you're not already. It's not that hard. It's really not that hard. You don't need to have a law degree to understand this booklet. You don't have to have a law degree. And so many lawyers I've talked to are just wrong on their interpretation of the Constitution. You gotta remember, they're getting taught this Constitution in all of these liberal universities. So they're gonna come out sounding more like a freaking Marxist than they are a constitutionalist. All right? That's not all lawyers. But please, get educated. That's your responsibility as a citizen. And once you get educated, you'll be more apt to make the right decisions on the voting at the voting booth and other places as well, okay? So, and look, I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm not saying I'm right on everything. But I've taken the time to study this and formulate my opinions. You and I can disagree on any one of these things I talked about today. But at least we're coming from a sense of facts and knowledge, not emotion. Emotion will kill this country. And we can't do that. We can't let that happen. Okay? All right. Episode 62, A Republic, If You Can Keep It, The Case for Constitutional Literacy. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next time. Thanks. Thanks for listening to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.